Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. Lord, come help. Your very present help in time of need, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come. Anoint, hear, see, perceive, understand, reveal, deal, unconceal, conceal. All these things that we have need of. As we approach this subject with humility and respectful fear of the Lord, asking for wisdom to rightly dice and slice and parse out the issues that we face from the perspective of heaven, knowing that we're frail humans and know and see in part, but you have the greater part. Lord, give us hearts after you in Jesus' name. Remember, thou art mortal. Remember, thou art mortal. Remember, thou art mortal. I've been watching some of the older epic classics that came out of Hollywood. Classics, and they're epics, and they're were scripted and produced according to authentic documents and historical accuracy, as much as the script writers and the producers and directors had access to in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, swords and sandals and all the classic, you know, Greek tales, Homer and the Iliad, and the fall of the Roman Empire, and Quo Vadis. And I'm provoked, first of all, because the amount of pomp and circumstance, so to speak, and financial underwriting to produce these authentic movies, historically authentic, and with great scripts written after the classics from Plato and Aristotle, et cetera, et cetera, that makes them in a class of their own. There were few. There was an era of that. Now everything is computer animated, generated, and the standard, you know, plot. It's like the three-point sermon in church. You know, his introduction, 3 points, and the conclusion. Oh, please. And the dialogue, classic, you know, dialogue, and the absolute intricacies of movement and sound and light that produce a epic drama. But also I was learning a lot through these, just kind of being, watching them and having the whole idea of the Iron Man, the Roman Empire, the great and final empire that is spoken of in Babylon. There were four empires in this idolatrous statue that was Daniel saw, or actually the king saw, and that Daniel was a satrap, court administrator to. It had a head of gold, chest of silver, thighs of bronze or brass, and legs and feet of iron and clay. And the iron kingdom is the Roman. So there's been a lot. There's been the iron cross. Caesar, actually, Tsar, Caesar, all these names come out of the Romanish institution. And I saw some very interesting things were quickened to me that I hadn't seen, especially in the fall of the Roman Empire, that overlay and are pertinent to some of the understanding. So there was an extra DVD thrown in there from Encyclopedia Britannica who went in because of the authenticity of the script and the sets to produce this movie. They did a series of educational films using the sets and the clothing and so on to dramatize Roman education. And it was interesting. The authenticity, one of the things the gentleman said, which I found really pertinent, was that they were doing a study on the whole Roman system and why it had such a longevity, and about that. And they, meaning the Encyclopedia Britannica's educated opinion, was that Roman law is the basis for all modern law. Now, this is very interesting in the light of the fact that a lot of people will say, well, Blackstone's law and American law are based on Judeo-Christian law. Au contraire, says this man, all modern Western law is based on Roman law. And one of the factors about Roman law was that every person was innocent until proven guilty. In the Western system that no longer exists, it used to, and the idea of it is still propagated, but now someone is guilty and arrested and must prove themselves innocent. And another thing that they brought out about the taxes and slavery and all of that is that slaves do not produce as much as a free man. These are all lessons in history. So as the slave states come in under, the Tsar Caesar, that's the name of a Russian. Tsar is the Tsar, or even Adolf Hitler's Fourth Reich, because of course he was the rise of the Fourth Reich, was the Fourth Roman Empire, and his heraldic standard was the eagle. That they enslave people and the productivity level declines greatly. I saw this in 1991 when I first went to former Soviet states. And this also, I see this in Islamic states where there is too much oppression and restriction, productivity decreases. If you don't hold out a man's hope in the natural that he can attain or acquire something apart, legitimately, he loses hope. He becomes oppressed, and the wicked gain the upper hand through corruption and immorality. Anyway, pontificate, there's Pontific Maximus, and in Quo Vadis, the pont was the bridge, and the divine pontiff was the name of Nero, is also now the head of the papacy, is called the pontiff, and Pax Romanus, well, that's the Vatican overlay. But what I want to sort of focus in on, those are just little ahas, is remember thou art mortal. Whenever a great king or a triumphant general would come back in with a great victory parade on his chariots, horses snorting fire, and the crowds cheering wildly, there would be a man on the chariot who held the laurel leaf overhead and would remind him, remember, thou art mortal. You aren't because the, and we saw this happen in the decline of the Roman Empire. The Caesars, who began to have absolute dictatorial power, began to think that they were divine and they had the divine right of kings and they became God. And this harkens back to the first temptation. It's old as the book. When Satan came to Eve in the garden, and he said to her, as she was looking at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, there are two trees. One is the tree of life, which is forbidden for us to go to because Eve took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so at Genesis 2, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, he talked about the woman, he brought a deep sleep. Now let's go down to the temptation in Genesis 3 and fall of man. Now the serpent, Genesis 3, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You will be like God. Therefore, it is known even among the ancients, remember, thou art mortal. There is not a divine right to God, become like God and lord it over others, to become in their lordship godlike. There is a right to become the servant and to serve, because that venomous bite from the serpent will cause you to become deranged, just as Commodus and others did. Caesar Commodus became deranged, and Nero, and they became insane because of their rebellion to God, the curse of the knowledge of good and evil, and their magnanimity, their magnanimous opinions of themselves, caused them to go insane, confused and disorder of mind and thought. All right, let's segue over into beast systems, which have the denotation of being worldly constructs in which spirits operate through. Revelation 12 talks about the beasts from the sea. At this point in time, there's a beast that rises out of the sea, having seven horns and seven heads, and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his head, a blasphemous name. So let me just break this down a little bit before we go further. The beast, a beast is always the carnal. A beast is the carnal, it's the fleshy. It's the fallen part of our nature that we have been born into in this particular dimension, whether it be animal instincts, to eat, drink, procreate, survive, all these things. So the very word beast means it's the very base and primitive nature that has an order to it. That's the order, that's the structure. Came out of the sea. Later says that the sea is well, I'm not going to go there. He has seven heads, which means there are seven aspects to this beast. 10 horns. Horns are power, the power to usually military power, force or aggression to maintain this, the headship, and 10 crowns. Crowns are authority or places of government, realms of authority. And on his head, a blasphemous name. Therefore, the very structure, blasphemous name, means it's blaspheming the true God. So it's an idolatrous structure. It's a carnal structure that opposes God. It says the carnal mind is the enemy of God. And in Rome, that's in James, and then in Romans it says the flesh and the spirit war against each other. So this is a carnal beast system. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Often in the modern contemporary terms, this would probably be the leopard is a symbol of Kazakhstan. So it would be an Islo-socialistic or fascistic, kind of their overlap, communist, Islamo-fascist. construction. So this is the form of the beast, but his feet were the feet of a bear, maybe it's Russia, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, the Medo-Persian, the ancient Babylonian. But here's the issue. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Therefore, the dragon was above this beast, this system, and it was a satanic empowerment of the system. And I saw on his head as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So this system, its head was wounded, one of the aspects of these seven heads. Could be a seven-nation coalition that has jurisdiction and the military power and authority over 10 areas that these seven heads ruled. One was wounded, its mortal wound, thought it was going to get taken out and died, but it was restructured. It was healed. So they worshiped the dragon, those who were in this beast system, and who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like the beast and who's able to make war with him? So this is a very powerful system. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. That is 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them or to shatter their power, as says in Daniel. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will have worshipped him, whose names have not been written in the book of life or the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, this beast comes out of the sea. And there is, and if you look back in history to maritime law, and I look into covenants and treaties contracts. That has been something that's really brought to my attention in the past several years. The law of the sea treaties, the maritime treaties and maritime court is a huge issue in the federal courts in this government, but also in the United Nations. There's a whole row and a half on law of the sea treaty issues. The law of the sea treaties actually came in maritime rule when the Spanish armadas and the English armadas, these powers of the sea were great before the time of the airplane, where now it's the Air Force and the naval forces joined together. And there was a lot of pirates from the Barbary Coast, Islamic actually, they stemmed for, and they would go on raiding parties. And as they raided the ships, then they would come to port, and they weren't allowed to come to port because they had illegal stolen goods. So they had to know somebody who could give them port authority to allow them to come and dock their ship and then sell or transfer their illegal goods. And hence the maritime laws came up out of piracy laws. This has to do with slave trading and, you know, the merchandising of gold and illegal stolen goods. And these laws of these maritime laws came up into the law of the sea treaties. And now these are used very subtly and covertly to to subversively overrule nation sovereignty. And through this, the United Nations is reaching out its control. The beast from the sea, it began to control and take over the world. Now, then there's another beast coming out of the earth. Okay, this is out of the dirt. So my pen, just a view, you know, just some thoughts as has been revealed to me. This beast comes out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So this looks like lamb Christianity. It's, you know, it feigns weakness and innocence and purity, but actually when it opens its mouth, the spirit that operates through it is Luciferian, satanic, and he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence. So he has authority also with his same. So these two are riding together and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he makes even fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So this beast has a certain image. And if it's the leopard, if it's Islamofascism, then there are, there are images that the Muslims gravitate towards. We won't go there right now. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor and free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads. This implies that this second beast, the beast out of the earth, and earth is carnal. This also denotes that, or has a connotation of the earth, you know, the flesh. Man's made of dirt and some water. That literally is the chemical construct of the body. That he has the power, okay, and he has the power, these two working together, to over the material monetary system, which just points right to the bankers and that are controlled through the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund in Europe, with the Vatican stringing the two along. Although at this point there's conflict between these two beasts, they're not in unity. There is some sort of unity, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. So here it reiterates the fact that this is the man's nature. The beast is the number of man. These two are combined together. His number is 666. I want to jump over here to Revelation 17, where it talks about the Scarlet Woman and the Scarlet Beast. And this woman, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." So this harlot sits on many waters, and this beast comes out of the seas. He comes out of the sea, this great harlot with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. Okay, and this beast, so he carried me away. Oh, they committed fornication, the kings of the earth, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Okay, so this is a red beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Okay, this is the same description of the beast coming out of the sea, except with the addition of, okay, it said seven heads and 10 horns. It was scarlet. And it was full of names of blasphemy. So this beast in 13 also has blasphemous name on its head. having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her head a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Well, this seems to be the second beast, the beast from the earth. The one that looks like, has two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. This is a shape-shifting beast. These two perhaps are the same beast description. She's riding it, the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth, and the woman sitting on the scarlet beast. So let's in verse 7 in Rev 17, the meaning of the woman and the beast. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and then ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not." Okay, so this woman, okay, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here's the mind which has wisdom. Okay, Holy Spirit's going to give us wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Mountains are places of authority, could be literal mountains. It's known that Rome has seven mountains. There are also seven kings. Okay, so it also said there are seven kings, places, heads, rulers. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. So the seventh one, the seventh king, will continue for a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eight, and is of the seven is going to perdition. So this means this beast who had the wound, he's going to be sent into the bottomless pit. Ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. But they have received authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So this beast system will empower these ten horns. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So they will give all their rule over to this one king, these ten other kings. And these will make war with the Lamb. And this is the Lamb's war. And the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords. He's Lord over all the lords and King of kings. He's the king over all the kings. And those who are with them are called, chosen, and faithful. Now back here in 13, it says, who can make war with the beast? Well, here's who can, the Lamb. And then he said to me, the waters, which you saw, where the harlot sits, and this indicates that this might be the beast out of the sea where he came out of, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns, which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, okay, these ten kings. The beast kings will hate the harlot. The religious system, okay, Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. This is what's written on her forehead. It is a religious system, okay? And they will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Okay, now here's the key verse. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind. So the Lord is going to allow this. He's going to, in fact, orchestrate it to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. So these kings will give in to this beast system. And the woman who you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And then in Revelation 18, it goes into the fall of Babylon the Great. And after I saw these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, The grid is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Who is that? That's mystery, Babylon the Great. This is the Babylon. This religious system, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Why? Because she controls the mammon system. And it's because of her. It says here, this beast, this lamb, spoke like a dragon. She causes the marking of all the earth. Social Security system, IRS. Shall we track it all the way back to the Vatican? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow.' Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judges her." And then the rest of the chapter goes on about the world mourning, Babylon's fall. So if you're worldly, you're going to mourn this. If you're not, you're going to rejoice. Because it says in 20, "Rejoice over her, O heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." And then the last four verses talked about the finality of Babylon's fall, and Revelation 19 goes into heaven exalting over the fall of Babylon. Now I'm going to put in a prophecy here that I had the other morning, and then I will finish with some concluding scriptures out of Jeremiah 51, which speaks of the utter destruction of Babylon. Okay, in light of the technical logistics, I'm going to go ahead and just produce this off of the other file that I had that I was working off of. So this is how it goes. I had a Native American tongue. It was, I've never had this, and it was offended. There was an offense in it. This came in a time of corporate intercession. That means that there is to be an interpretation of this tongue. So it was an American Indian tongue. So I'm going to have the interpretation now. There was a scream and then red blood. That the Native American blood is crying out. That the Roman church has come over and slaughtered the Native Americans. It's estimated there were 300 million in the South and North American continents. The offense of the blood. The Native American blood is offended for murder in the name of Jesus, in the name of crusades. Father, I ask that you bring forth the full interpretation. I ask that you bring it forth. Because the blood is crying out from the Lamb. The blood is crying out from the land. Even these brutal people, the Native Americans, the First Nations, but still the blood is crying out from the land. The blood is crying out. The earth is going to disgorge its blood. You must get ready. You must prepare yourself. You must get ready. It says in my book, the holy book, the revealing, the last book, the revealing of who Christ is, that the blood will flow to the bride, to the horse's bridle, that it will flow during the harvest, that the Lord of the harvest is coming, that you must press through the blood and the fire smoke. You must press through the volleys of spiritual warfare, because the offenses are all around you, the offenses of the ages, because they've offended the King of Glory. They have brutally murdered him, his only son. Now the master of the universe is sending his son soon back to claim his vineyard, to claim his church back. These people who have made themselves look like a lamb and breathed a dragon and breathed the blood and killed and murdered. And I see my inheritance in my land. And my vengeance is going to come. You've heard many people. My people, my people, my people, my inheritance, the bridegroom is blood, and Isaiah is coming from Bozra. His garments are dipped in blood. His sword of vengeance is coming from the east. He's coming to execute vengeance on his enemies. Because the day of the vengeance of your God is coming. The day of the vengeance of your God. Many are saying, well, this is what Scripture says. And it's not going to be, and it's for a long time. It's for a great ways off. There's not going to be war. We're going to have peace and prosperity. I say to you, they have said that ever since, and will continue to say it. But we are going to live and drink. Because if he's coming, you know, we'll make the best of what we have. You have not set apart that time of repentance and seeking me. So I'm going to turn around and call out the offenses and to bring to repentance. Let the righteous continue to be righteous and the wicked continue to be wicked. I am the God of vengeance. I'm the God that revenges the offenses that come against my house and my son and those who love him. The day is coming, it's quickly at hand. I hear the clatter of the chariots. I hear the sound of war in the land. Do not be deceived by false teachers and false prophets. For there's a knocking. I hear the knocking. It's at the gate. It's late. It's for an appointed time. Because I rule over the time and the seasons. Or the orchestration, the clocks in heaven. Not the clocks on the earth. The heavenly song. The heavenly declare the glory of the Lord and the handiwork of the Lord. And they declare my coming. I'm sending out my servants to trumpet my word, to reap, to gather in, to turn them away from sin. For the hour of my vengeance is here. At the door, I hear the knocking, knocking at the door. Say, come in, come in. The door will close quickly. I will send out my servants with my word. The word of my fire and the word of my vengeance, not ear-tickling pretty words, my sword, my jeweled dagger, to cut men's heart, to circumcise them, to cut off their flesh. No flesh shall live and see God. So burn it up. Offer it on the altar. of you, altar your flesh on the altar. Worship, worship, worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And thereafter, the scripture, Jeremiah 51, verse 6, flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life, and do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone, to his own country. For her judgment reaches to the heaven and is lifted up to the skies. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make the arrows bright. Gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. For his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guards strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both devised and done what he has spoken against the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your covetousness. I exhort you, I suggest you read Jeremiah 51 and prepare yourselves to meet your Maker. Let your garments be ready and let your lamps be burning. In our Lord and Savior Jesus' name, God bless you.